stop with the first six game stuff. They're all tough games. You're not supposed to be that good. So this whole, well, you know, they're all tough games. Forget the first six games. Look at all 17. If you're not supposed to be that good, then you're going to be wondering, well, Ken, how do you get four wins? How do you get five wins? Where do the five wins come from? Where do they come on that schedule? They're all tough. There's not going to be some magical fairy that gives us more wins after the first six games other than, okay, some of the teams we're playing might not be that good. I have no idea what you... As of right now, yeah, we think that... Was that yesterday or is that right now?
That's yesterday.
Okay, for a second I thought I was going to have to give an update. There's, as of right now, Vikings, we assume the Bears are going to be better, but they're at the end of the season, right? So that's going to be tougher. Well, yeah, I mean, who knows what a record's going to be by then, right? Vikings, Packers, Lions, all supposed to be good.
How many games are we underdogs right now of
probably
the 17?
Probably most, if not all of them. But
what about Tennessee on December 7th?
You might be the... Well, I'm not sure. We'll see how Cam Ward is throwing by then. But probably in most, if not all of them. But, I mean, my God, this whole, like, well, you know, after the first six games, we keep making a big damn deal about the first six games. I go, well, hey, I mean... Are we guaranteed that everybody on the Bengals is going to be healthy week one? We're never guaranteed that. The Ravens are probably going to be about a 15-win team this year, so I don't know if there's going to be any change there. Packers, Jordan Love's really good. The Lions, hey, you know what? There might be some questions about losing Ben Johnson and losing Aaron Glenn there that they got to figure out in the early parts of the season. Not that you're going to beat any of these teams, but are they going to be the juggernauts we think they're going to be? I kind of know where the Browns are going to be. But I don't think there's any sort of crazy let-up after six games where it's like, okay, now we can take it easy and start to stack some wins. John Greco joining us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, John.
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you this morning.
You can be honest with me. Did that entire diatribe make any sense to you as a former NFLer?
Yeah, it did. It did. And as a current fan, it sure did. It's hard to, play the schedule game this time of year. You know, we've had one padded practice under our belt now, so there's a different excitement. But yeah, when I played, not so much. It was more like, oh, who do we have on the opener? You know that for months, obviously, and then you're thinking, my God, what defensive tackle do I have to block the whole game and get in a fist fight in a phone booth with for 60 minutes? But yeah, now that I can zoom out a little bit and I'm a fan and I don't wake up every morning and I'm like, who's that one guy? And his backup, yeah, I start to schedule peak. So I think you made some good points there.
Who would you start the season with a quarterback? Sorry, Tone, you can go next.
Who would I? Joe Flacco. I mean, I think we've kind of known that and talked about that. So, putting the schedule aside, I think that making that move – proves that, like, hey, we're early on, we're trying to put the best product out there, put people in the best opportunity, the best position to win games, galvanize the unit, and give some of these vets that stuck around potentially because of, a quote-unquote plan that was in place to try to win games. So I think it's got to be Flacco. And Pickett, he doesn't have a lot of the individual success that Joe Flacco did, but he's still a veteran. Guys that I've spoken with and heard from that are still in the locker room have faith in him. And now obviously you're dealing with the hamstring, so we'll see what that does for his the plan for him in the rotation. But I think it's Joe Flacco, a proven veteran, a guy that can go out there week one and execute the offense.
All right, John, we love having you on because we know we're going to get unbridled honesty when it comes to this stuff from a player's perspective or a former player's perspective. So when somebody like you who played the game at the highest level hears guys like us and shows like us debating the statistics, the completions, the incompletions, and the overall numbers from a training camp practice where nobody can really be tackled or taken down, what do you think about that type of discussion?
Anthony, it's a good question. If you'd asked me 6 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have probably ignored the question, laughed to myself and thought you guys were idiots. But
Sanders was 9-9 yesterday, 9-9 yesterday, two touchdowns.
And hey, you got to think, I'm more in your boat now than I was when I played. So I'm excited about that. And again, we had one padded practice. So, during spring, I don't really care who's completing the ball. What I don't want to see is, short hopping passes or airmailing passes over a guy's head or just, missing wide open guys in 7-on-7. But now when, I don't want to say the bullets are live because they're not, to your point, nobody's getting touched, but you can kind of see, and there would always be like that false sense of security when I would play, we'd be like, oh, hey, we threw a nice deep, 30, 40 yard pass there, or executed a play action and somebody hit a home run. And we were really, distributing the ball, making a lot of completions. And then you watch the tape and you're like, oh God, four of those would have been sacks in the game. Or maybe somebody pulled off and it could have been an interception, but for whatever the drill was, it was more of an offensive focus. And the defender didn't make a play. So, I guess to kind of circle it all back, I'm excited. I don't mind the talk now because that's all we have right now until at least the first preseason game, which is in what, 10 days, 11 days. I think it's nice to get excited about a young player that has so much talk around him and there's so much uncertainty and wonder, what is this quarterback room going to look like come September? I think it's okay. It could be worse. He could be 1 for 9 with 2 interceptions. And then what are we talking about today, right now in this conversation? So yeah, hey, that's a great practice. How does he stack great throws and great completions and practices on top of one another? Because right now it doesn't matter, guys. He could be 100 for 100 this week, but how does it look in the preseason when he's actually getting tackled and hit? And guys are making plays and the speed is ramped up just a little bit more. What does he look like then? How is he executing then?
John Greco joining us on the show. John, we've talked about this before, about consulting with veterans, but it's been a while, so I need to brush up with you again on it. Like, say Kevin decides to start the season with Dylan Gabriel, or halfway through the year he goes, it's time for Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders. Does he have a conversation with veterans before either one of those moves, maybe certain veterans, guys like Joel, et cetera?
I would have to say absolutely. I've been on teams and in situations where I was part of those conversations, and then I've been in, years where I was not, but, you kind of sense what's happening through osmosis in the locker room, like hearing from maybe captains or a guy like Joe Thomas or Josh McCown, there was like one conduit between the head coach and the rest of the locker room or the rest of the veterans. The head coach would talk to a committee of veterans or key players, starters. So I just thinking about, guys in this locker room that have played a number of years, a number of snaps, I think Kevin Stefanski is the type of guy that would kind of have that transparency with the team and some of those key players, because we all see it. He's the best at being, cryptic and that's between us. We're day to day. We'll deal with that internally.
Yeah.
He's among the best of that. So I do think behind the scenes in the principal meetings, in the powwows, he is conveying that message to key veterans. And look, those guys, you've heard me say this before, when you get a message like that from the head coach, there's conversations upstairs behind the scenes that the players probably aren't a part of. And then they get that message from the head coach and then it's time to roll. There's no time to think and say, well, is that the best decision? Are we really doing this? You could be thinking that in your head, but at the end of the day, you have to roll. You have to get ready for whoever's in there, whatever that move might be. So I would expect, yes, they have those conversations, but there's really no time to think or react or debate it. You have to go out there and go to work.
John Greco with us on the hotline. Was it noticeable when you were doing your thing back in the NFL training camp days to see players make the leap? Is that something you could tell in training camp, or does that not really manifest, until down the road? We're talking about guys have already been in the league. Maybe they were rookies the year before or second year players, and now they start to become something different? Or is that something that you'll only really see once the season begins?
No, I think you absolutely can see that in training camp, and that's a great question. There's a lot of young guys that you're wondering, you know, what does it look like between year one, year two, you know, for the incoming rookies, guys you drafted. It's like, yeah, you've seen their college highlights and you've seen what they've done in their college, the collegiate resume. And you know, you've been practicing against them in shorts and t-shirts the whole spring and they look like world beaters and you're like, okay, what's this guy going to look like in pads? Because, you know, everybody's different. So you kind of take inventory of today's practice, the week's practices. Then you start getting into preseason games and guys kind of jump off the tape and make splashes. So yeah, it was exciting to see that. And especially when you do these joint practices, you know, it's like the first time that you can go out to battle and you're not going against your own guys. And you know, love them or hate them, it really gives you a snapshot of where you're at and what you need to work on. And you can hear it. You know, you're split the whole day, obviously, until you come together for some teamwork. But you know, you get in the locker room and you could see, like, you know, offensively, hey, we had a great day, and the defense, you know, maybe got beat up a little bit or vice versa. And then you look on that tape in the team room at night and the head coach says, look at this guy. He was making plays all day. You know, he was rallying. He was disrupting in the backfield. He was disruptive in the secondary and in the middle with you know, keeping blockers off of him. Whatever position it was, making catches, making big runs, breaking tackles. And that's when you know, guys start, you know, showing up on your radar and you're like, okay, this guy, you know, let me pay attention to him a little bit more. And then you see it in the preseasons, and if he's making plays, then the excitement builds. It's like, no, this guy's going to be a playmaker, a game changer for us, and we're going to need him to win more games.
What is a mistake that, like, a rookie QB, I keep asking about the rookies, but I have to, right? John, what's a mistake that a rookie QB, maybe interpersonally or on the field or whatever, can make that will make veterans question him?
I think, I don't want to say not taking it serious, but... Well, holding the ball too long, that's kind of something that would drive everybody crazy, speaking from the offensive line standpoint. But I think not being prepared. And look, I get it. There's a lot on their plate, especially as the installs start to, you know, mount or stack up. And then it's like there's more on their plate and they have to, oh, this one easy protection and all the things associated with it. I have that down. Now all of a sudden there's 6, 7, 8 protections and I have to, you know, there's guys that are pass rushing me now and there's different blitzes and different looks. When a guy is not prepared, I think that's what is the biggest mistake. So, you know, look, the days are long, but those quarterbacks, I mean, they're not getting touched. It's more of a mental thing for them. And it's, for me, it was like, you know your stuff, execute the huddle. And it starts, it's simple as that. I hate to say it. You know, get the snap counts consistent and on point, help each other with the calls. And I used to like when those guys would be in our meeting rooms late at night. You know, we'd have a snack together right before bed check. And it was like, let's talk about the day. Let's think about what's coming tomorrow. What can I do better? What do you need from us? You know, just so you can create a cohesive unit. But the biggest mistake for me, Ken, is when guys just kind of mail it in or they're like, okay, I did enough today. That was good. No, I want to see them preparing for the next day, the next day, the next day, because it really just will help them be a better player.
John, we've seen just quickly baseball and basketball have some potential gambling scandals. We just had it here with speculation about what could be happening with pitchers in a Guardians clubhouse. Do you think the NFL, by and large, is immune to this, or do you think this could happen eventually and will happen eventually to the NFL?
I don't know, Anthony, if the NFL is immune to it. I think maybe I'm just naive. I feel like it would be more obvious in the NFL, but maybe not. You know, I hate, obviously, the investigation that's going on with the Guardians. I'm a fan. I hate to hear it. It sucks. But, yeah, the fact of the matter is that gambling and organized crime and all that kind of stuff surrounding that, it's been around for a long time in some of those major, you know, professional sports and collegiate sports. So you hate to see it in the NBA and, you know, obviously college basketball, baseball, but the NFL, I don't know if it's infiltrated it yet. I think it would be hard, you know, like if somebody was like, hey, John, I need you to miss blocks That way, you know, we can cover. I just think it's a little bit more difficult now. You know, maybe quarterbacks, kickers, running backs would be fumbling. You know, I don't know. Guys missing tackles purposely, but I think it would be really difficult to kind of orchestrate that. But does that mean that it's never going to happen or hasn't happened? I can't guarantee that. I don't know.
John, you're a good man and thorough. Thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Gentlemen, happy to be back with you.
John Greco. Find him on Twitter, at John_Greco77, even though he doesn't tweet that much, but that's okay. He reads your tweets. He knows what you send him.